Exchange, episode number 157. And Tim, our teams are officially, we knew this for a while, but they are officially in free fall. It's over.
Yeah.
Pack it up. Daniel Jones, benched. Joe Douglas, fired. Tommy DeVito, QB1. Aaron Rodgers might not be a Jet this year or next year.
Yeah. Woody Johnson, get the hell out of here.
He's got to go.
Oh, my God.
He has.
I was considering benching Aaron Rodgers after week four.
I would have.
What? Come on.
It all went downhill after that. They fired Salah. That was it.
I mean, it was just a mess from the get-go. Let's be real. It never worked.
That's true. That's true. All right, we will dive into NFL. College football. The college football playoff rankings are out. There's a lot of heat towards the rankings. Indiana, should they be in? Are they going to get screwed? Do you think that they're going to get screwed?
We'll have to see. I mean, they screw someone over every year.
They screw someone over every year. Somehow, some way, this 12-team playoff, they've hyped it up as no one's going to get screwed, and then someone might get screwed.
Someone's going to get screwed.
Are we going to see a 3-loss SEC team in the playoff? If that happens, the sport is cooked.
I mean, probably. Probably.
If that happens, the sport is done.
Over BYU.
Dive into college football. NBA. The Knicks, winners of three straight. Yes, three straight. Rangers, winners of three straight. Dalton Knecht, that boy good.
Yes, he is.
I told you. Jared McCain, that boy good. Very good. Pretty good. And then nothing new from MLB unless Mets get Jose Siri.
Yeah, there's something.
That's not news.
I mean, I don't know. All I'm hearing about these Soto meetings is just getting me so amped up because the thing is, apparently every team's been a good meeting. So
the Cavs' undefeated season is over.
Yeah, had to come to an end. What are you going to a game without three of your top, three guys you rely on heavily? And Darius Garland did not play very well. So, and actually now he's out. So he was dealing with some lingering injury.
Dealing with some type of injury. You bring that up. I do. Okay. He needs three more assists, Donovan Mitchell. All right. Let's just dive right into it. Let's start with the Jets. The New York Jets have fired Joe Douglas after their loss against the Indianapolis Colts. I feel like you saw it coming.
You saw it coming. I mean,
you saw it coming time and time again. It felt like he was building something these past 6 years. It felt like, okay, Sauce and Garrett and, making all these signings. He was a good GM personnel wise, but the wins and losses, he's one of the worst GMs in Jet history.
Just never had the right fit guys. Never had the right fit guys.
Never had.
We're not looking for the best players. We're looking for the right players. That's Herb Brooks. Everyone knows that.
You might have found something special with Robert Saleh, and then ownership got in the way. And then now, this whole thing with Aaron Rodgers, it felt like this was a long time coming. Because, yes, while the hits that Joe Douglas had are highlighted,
the misses are worse.
Are so much worse. The Aaron Rodgers trade.
Zach Wilson
draft pick. Hassan, I know he signed, but Hassan Reddick holding
out. Letting guys walk. I mean, they beefed up the line. AVT, I mean, I don't know. There's just, you can't.
It's bad.
Like you said, they went for the big name guys. They went for the big name guys and not the right guys. And that's what it was. Defense last year had so much chemistry. What are we doing breaking it up? We have the money to keep it together.
And then did you hear that Jerry Jeudy rumor?
What? That he's coming here?
No, that you guys were going to trade for Jerry Jeudy for Alan Lazard. And a third round pick or something like that.
Why?
I want to say a third round pick. I don't know. It had something to do with Woody where he, I have to find this.
I mean,
Woody
needed this to work. He even came out and said, this is the best roster I've had in 25 years. It's just, this is one of the worst teams
and
I've watched.
What are they? They are 3-8. Best roster that he's had in years. 3-8. If you're a Jet fan, this is a disaster. Here we go. This is what I wanted to hear. Joe Douglas offered a draft day, not a draft day trade, sorry. Lazard and a day two pick for Jerry Jeudy. Woody Johnson said, absolutely not. He was like, do not offer that. These are
what
just
he's got his hands and everything.
This is just the implications from the
Athletic.
I mean,
on draft day, that sounds like a great trade. Now looking at it, it's like
Well, I mean, he did have a good game last week, Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, but Alan Lazard's had some good games. I mean, it's
so
they need that pick now.
This is according to the Athletic. This is what these are the implications that have been made. We did hear the rumor that after their loss to the Broncos, Woody Johnson called a meeting with coaches and front office executives and suggested that the team would bench Aaron Rodgers in favor of Tyrod Taylor. The move apparently stunned coaches and Douglas, who convinced Woody out of it and that it would embarrass Aaron and not sit well with the locker room. There were other things as well. Woody Johnson unilaterally fired Robert Saleh on October 8th without consulting anyone. Woody Johnson blocked Bryce Huff extension talks from Joe Douglas. We mentioned the Jerry Jeudy trade. Woody Johnson's micromanagement of JD escalated, of Joe Douglas, sorry, after forcing Douglas to fire close friend Rex Hogan. Following the move, it theorized, Douglas told staffers, Woody should just fire me now. When Chad Alexander, the top advisor to Joe Douglas, left for the Chargers, Johnson blocked Douglas from replacing him, further diminishing his authority. Hassan Reddick kept on going with the holdout after Johnson refused to negotiate a contract extension. The hits keep coming. They keep coming. There's like four more here. Tyron Smith and Mike Williams signings were Woody Johnson driven. Woody Johnson also pushed for the Devontae Adams trade. Johnson suggested Woody Johnson benched Tony Adams against the wishes of the coaching staff. And Aaron Rodgers likely will not return, with Woody Johnson preferring to move on.
I mean, he's right about the last thing, but
yes,
just
you should move on. New GM, new head coach. There's a great market out there, but here's the thing. Even if you hire anyone, how do you have faith?
You don't. I mean, this is, and it's a reason why they're stuck in this situation every single year. And you can blame it on anyone. You could blame it on the front office. You have front office had issues, coaching's had issues, but it stems to one problem, and it's always been Woody Johnson. He's always been the issue. We like to talk smack about Jerry Jones and other guys out with, you know,
he's up there for
top three, the worst.
I think now that like it hasn't really been like talked about much. Because for the last couple, no offense to him, but for the last couple of years, like the Jets have had like
not
this talented of a roster, and the fact that they are having this talented of a roster and 3-8,
yeah, no, it's not.
He's up there. He's the most hated man in the fucking state right now, New York and New Jersey.
Well, Daniel Jones might, but
I mean, well, that's over. But
is it?
There's.
Give it a week.
If they go back to him, like I'll talk about what happens. Basically, with the Jets now, who do you want as GM, as head coach, at quarterback? Even
this is gonna like all of these is just whoever I want. They're not gonna go get because Dan Lanning. Getting Dan Lanning as a head coach would be great for me. I would love that. I would love to see something like that. Yeah. No. I'm okay. I saw already. He would be the head coach of the Cowboys if. They drafted. What they just signed Dak. I mean, they're this whole publicity stunt's nuts. I don't need another publicity stunt like that in my life. Am I crazy to say that if they go out and get Justin Fields with the talent that they have, it might be able to put something comprehensible together? Am I crazy for saying that?
Who is this? The Jets?
The Jets. Yeah.
I don't know. I still think
depending on the pick they get, because
it depends. Well, that and like you see, it's you got to get good coaching because I think that like when Justin Fields came in for. Bits and pieces of that Ravens game last week, he still didn't look good. But they're able to disguise that because of great coaching. That's what Mike Tomlin does.
Yeah. But
I just don't – like, do you want a guy like Ben Johnson? Do you want, like, an offensively driven guy? Do you want a guy like Vrabel?
Do they go get Flores?
Do they go get Brian Flores? Like, there's really – I don't see light at the end of the tunnel here.
It's dim right now, but they're not going to make them. We're not going to know anything yet until the season's over, obviously. I mean, this is, again, it's over. Not statistically. Obviously, delusional Jets fans will say the AFC is so bad they have a shot. We don't. I mean, we're not winning out.
No, it's over.
With the product we're doing now, it's over. But they need
they need, as bad as our offense is, Stan, I know what the hell is wrong with the defense.
Needs help.
They need to completely flip this, get a defensive-minded head coach. I don't know if Ulbrich's going to want to go back to defensive coordinator. I don't know what his – I don't even know what this thing's going to work out anymore. I mean,
he might not even bring him back.
I was going to say, I mean, he's losing – yeah, I was just about to say, he's losing a little reputation here. He was on his high horse at defensive coordinator. Now we're moving him around. It just isn't looking good. I don't know. I really don't know where they go. And they put him in this situation. We said if Aaron – when this was – oh my gosh, if it doesn't work out, oh, but yeah, it's going to work out. Well, it didn't work out. Now we're sitting in the part where it didn't work out. And we were talking about this earlier. You're digging yourself a hole with a 45-year-old quarterback.
You don't really have
he's any future back there.
He's not 45, but you get the point.
Yeah. Like, I mean, are you sticking with Jordan Travis? You drafted him late. Do you give him a shot? There's so many questions to be answered. But
I'll
right now,
this.
For me, they need to restructure their defense. Get people know to tackle.
I know you mentioned the defense. Like, I swear to God, if Aaron Rodgers, if this was the same team.
As last year?
Not as last year, but I'm just saying, like, if your quarterback's name is not Aaron Rodgers, he's riding pine right now. Like,
yeah.
We can talk about the defense. We can talk about the coaching, all this. Woody Johnson. Aaron Rodgers has not been good. And that's what you get. That's what you get with a 41-year-old quarterback.
And they said, I mean, maybe next year he's a little more healthy and he's rehabbed a little more. But, I mean, you got defensive tackles saying, I feel bad for the guy back there. He can't move. And like I said earlier, it's very reminiscent of how Pittsburgh was in Big Ben's final season. It's just, I mean, holding by the skin of their teeth, and he can't move back there. And, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh benefits from a fantastic defense. We don't have that this year to bail us out like they did last year with Zach Wilson. So, there's no light at the end of the tunnel right now. Everyone's regressing. I mean, Sauce Gardner's somehow getting worse, which is not something you want to see.
That's insane.
Quincy Williams is the only guy I will say every week that I am.
Yeah.
Give the man his flowers. He's
Quinton Williams had a pretty good game too against.
They're both good.
The
it's kind of disappointing because, I mean, he doesn't have much help in the D line, so he's getting double teamed, and then no one gets in the backfield, and Quincy's fast, but it's just. They stink. They really stink on all aspects of football. No, they stink.
They're not good. But moving on to the Giants. Who also suck, by the way. I don't know if any of you knew that. They finally did it. They benched Daniel Jones. The Daniel Jones era is over. I feel like I've been getting mixed signals from...
It doesn't make you any better as a team.
It doesn't make you any better, number one, because God knows what's going to happen with Tommy DeVito.
But it lowers your expectations. And as a Giants fan, that's all you can ask for right now.
But my thing with that is, like, it's the right process. But I'll be honest, we could be getting the wrong results.
Yeah.
Like, DeVito popped off three straight games, three straight wins. Now, Grant, albeit two of them were against bad teams, one of them was against a fucking playoff team. But
they got
still,
film
like
on
that,
him now, though. And they know
the
he can't throw
that,
the
like,
ball.
Worries me.
He
I
can't
know
throw
that,
the ball.
I know, but like, I'm getting mixed signals from everybody from top to bottom.
I don't think the
ownership,
team believes in him.
From the front office to head coaches to players. Like, John Mara saying all the time now, I'm not firing Shane and Dable. I don't want to get in the way of this one. I think Woody Johnson should take some advice. But literally, like, he keeps on saying it. And then we're getting reports from the media basically saying that these next seven games are going to determine Brian Dable's future as Giants head coach. And then you're getting shit from players that are basically being like, I don't know why the fuck we did this. Like, this is stupid shit. And then you got Drew Lock, who signed here to be a backup. They signed into a $5 million contract. I don't know what he was told in offseason meetings. I don't know why he signed with this team. But it's basically, it feels like he was basically told, if he sucks, you're going in. And he's not going in. And he's pretty pissed off.
Yeah, and unless we...
It's just a recipe for disaster.
Unless he's been so bad in practice to the point where you can't even trust him in a practice simulation, that then maybe I go with Danny DeVito, but Tommy DeVito, whatever. I mean, that's the kind of play style he has. That's the kind of treatment he gets in the NFL. He's a clown. I mean, no offense, but the whole and I get it. I mean, maybe they're trying to pull what they did last year, get this Italian publicity back in them, get a little momentum from the fans, but I just don't see this magical run happen again. I mean, Linsanity didn't happen twice. So
Linsanity did not happen twice. Once Linsanity was over, it was over.
Yep.
I just
No. They're both moving backwards.
I don't know what to say. And then we got anonymous players, and I can bet with all my money right now that anonymous player was Darius Slayton. I promise you that was Darius Slayton, because he's always defended Daniel Jones. But let me find this freaking thing. This is a report from Jordan Schultz. Basically, Dexter Lawrence is doing some like charity thing and was asked about it. He said, he's the QB1 to me. He's the QB1 to me. He's the best quarterback in the team. An offensive player who I think is Darius Slayton, and that's what other people are thinking as well, said, we're not idiots. They did it because of money, so be it. But Daniel has been all class, never complained, and now is being completely disregarded. The team record is bad. You can point fingers everywhere. To try to blame him as trash and making him third string is weak as fuck.
This is where I'm going to step in, and I'm going to put the blame in the front office, because exactly from that quote is the best thrower in your room. That is the best thrower in your room. That's already
a bad
enough
thing.
Yes.
And I've brought this up like three consecutive episodes, but the Russell Wilson thing. Like, look at what Russell Wilson's doing in Pittsburgh right now.
And this may sound crazy, but did they not bring any quarterback competition in the room because they thought he would lose?
That's the thing. That's the thing that blows my mind.
I think like, that's where I'm at.
They said to Russell Wilson, we'll sign you, but you will exclusively be a backup to Daniel Jones.
It's because they knew that he would lose the quarterback battle to pretty much any other guy in the league except for Drew Lock. And that's why you bring in Drew Lock.
That's what it feels like. That's honestly what it feels like. And also, to the people asking why they aren't starting Drew Lock for like that he's just as bad people, I believe he has incentives on his contract where like if he goes over a certain amount of yards, they owe him money. I think they want to save money on this one. So, but like it's ridiculous.
I'm sure he won't get those yards.
I'm almost certain he won't, but like the thing with this is what scares me though. Like this is what genuinely scares me with DeVito now. Because if they start rattling off wins, it's not going to be good.
They're not. And then this is where the whole, I feel bad to ruin your hope, but they're not. And where I would be scared is front office going to really just completely lose the team with moves like this? Are they just going to completely lose the team? And then you're going to have a whole downward effect where guys want out, that go back to the whole Jamal Adams situation. I mean, maybe was right. Maybe he was right that Woody's crazy. Maybe he was making some sense in his head, but you're going to get stuff like that. That's not where you want to be as a team. Then you start signing Le'Veon Bell.
Oh God. Start signing Le'Veon Bell. We just have to see what happens with this draft. I think that basically John Mara is saying that you were bringing him back. I'm staying away. This is like our first 3-year head coach you ready for this? This is our first third year with a head coach since Coughlin.
I was going to say, is it Tom Coughlin?
Since Coughlin.
Bring him back.
McAdoo for 1.5. Shermer for 2. Judge for 2. Dable for 3.
We're in a similar boat over here. I've run through Adam Gase era. I mean, I've been around the block here, buddy.
Yeah, but it all
Rex
depends
Ryan's
on who
the longest head coach I've had.
Depends on who you take a quarterback.
I don't think this draft solves issues for either of these teams. Like major,
I don't think
issues.
It does either.
I don't think it does.
Like the things that scouts are saying about Shedeur Sanders.
Fine, that's completely fine. I do not see this miraculous turnaround that other teams somehow get from, and they set themselves up for it. But the Jets and the Giants, they don't set themselves up for it.
All right, we're gonna go. Actually, no, we're gonna do some.
Well, Chiefs lost.
Yeah, I'm about to pee my pants, so I'm going to stop this, and then we're going to come back.
you go do that.
All right, I'm back. Chiefs lost. Chiefs lose. Felt like this was a long time coming. It almost felt as if this was a game where they were just like, all right.
We have to lose one.
We have to lose one.
They're winning the Super Bowl. I hate, and it's going to be, and you know what, Stan? It's going to be nothing that Patrick Mahomes does. This defense, I don't, what? How are they so good? How are they so good? Even though the Bills won. All right, I don't even want to give the Bills their flowers because let's be honest here, and I could say this, Garrick, very confidently. I'm sure you could say the same thing. They're not winning the Super Bowl. Okay, it's not going to happen this year. It probably won't happen next year, and it probably won't happen the year after that. I just hate to be that guy, but that's how the Bills work.
Okay. Kelsey did not do much. I feel like this was one of those.
What's new?
Like, you know, Travis, you know, he's in the garage. He's in the garage, and, you know, he'll be ready by January, and then he'll look like the Travis Kelce of old.
We're still fixing the engine.
Yeah. Last play of the game, not last play of the game, but really like, that final drive for Kansas City, were you shocked that there was a penalty against the Kansas City Chiefs? And I know Chiefs fans are not going to be happy about me saying this, but like, come on now, let's be real. You get all the calls ever since the D Ford thing.
First time ever.
Yeah, but that was a hell of a run from Josh Allen, though.
Yeah, I mean, give the Bills their flowers. The Bills are
a call from Sean McDermott, we got to say, because you don't get that. Chiefs easily drive down the field, kick a field goal, and win the game.
Yeah, well, I'll stack up these AFC teams. I'll give the Bills their flowers, but when you look at the AFC right now, are they number two for you? Are they number three? I mean, where do they stack up? I still put the Ravens at two for me. It's just how the Ravens are.
But here's my thing with the Ravens, and I've seen Lamar Jackson's got a 1-5 record all time against the Steelers in his career.
Oh, it's
either
1-4 or 1-5. It's 1-4. Yeah, I think it's 1-4.
Okay, 1-4. This is something about it is when he always does this against either the Steelers or the Chiefs. I don't know if it's game plans. I don't know if it's like a big game, like I got to make a play. He's trying to extend plays. Use your legs.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's something that they're doing that we don't know, like the defensive schemes that the other teams for some reason don't know either.
But I don't know what they're doing. And we can put the blame on the wide receivers all we want. And I feel like that's always been like the scapegoat for Baltimore. But come on now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's Mark Andrews doing now?
He had 3 fantasy points for me.
I mean, let's not even talk about fantasy points. Is he just old now? Is he just a blocking tight end now?
I don't think he's old because the game against the Steelers, Washington, he had 14. Tampa Bay, he had 18. Cleveland, he had 12.
Well, he started the season, so maybe the injury was just lingering.
Yeah. Cincinnati, he had 15. So it's not like...
Yeah. All right. I mean, he's got options. Yeah. Is Lamar legit? Are you MVP again this year? Are we talking about that? I mean,
he's
the only
favorite, but I feel like after
Josh Allen,
I feel like after the Bills won, it's going to slowly turn into a Josh Allen thing, and I'll just leave it at that. I think it's Josh Allen's to lose. I haven't seen much from Lamar. Like that's the thing.
But the thing is, like, he's playing so well; it's just kind of what we're used to now. He has 3 interceptions. Have you seen what his interceptions are? They're just like off his receiver's hands,
like
none of them are his fault.
Yeah, that's the thing with the receivers. Yeah. But like, he's got to like stop trying to like create plays with his arm and create plays with his legs.
With his legs,
because that's what he's good at.
He slimmed down this year again too. Remember, he put on muscle mass last year and then cut in this offseason. So
that's true. That is true. The Dallas Cowboys. We talked about
are they the worse than the Jets.
They might be.
Hey, steak. You guys gotta play him still. Well, let's see what happens. It's the Tommy DeVito versus the Cowboys now.
Spend your Thanksgiving with your loved ones. Just spend your
the Isles game the night before. Watch it on Thanksgiving.
Tim, real quick, I'm gonna give you a list of names of players to score 27 or more points in the real quick NBA talk, and then we'll trickle back to the NFL. Players to score 27 points in the first half of this season: Devin Booker now. Ty Jerome.
This man is the truth. You were right, and I'm watching greatest. I mean, he's a starting caliber point guard on pretty much any other team in the NBA. So to have him as a backup is kind of ridiculous because you could just start him if you need to. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we're gonna talk
NBA.
Oh my god, he's 7 of 10 from 3.
Yeah, no, he's going nuclear right now. Granted, it's against the Pelicans that are starting.
Did you see
fucking Elfrid Payton? Yeah.
Hasn't played a basketball game in 930 days, an NBA game.
Oh my, anyway, back to the Cowboys being terrible. I did see a stat today, and it's disgusting. Like, this is not what you want if you're Jerry Jones. Touchdown scored at AT&T Stadium this season. The New Orleans Saints, 6. The Detroit Lions, 5. The Dallas Cowboys, 5. Dallas also winless at home this year ever since the Packer game in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know what? As a Jet fan, I'm really benefiting from them being so bad this year because it's taking a lot of the focus away from New York. And America's team has been one of the worst teams in America.
It has not been good. They're continuing with Cooper Rush at quarterback against the Commanders.
That's worse than what the Giants got going on over there.
I mean, the Texans defense made him look like semi-decent, but like, come on now.
It's Cooper Rush.
Spend your Thanksgiving with your loved ones, and I'll leave it at that. Because right now, it's really disgusting what's happening. It is. And
how about them? How about them 49ers? If you want to talk about something, they're a lifeless football team.
I think they'll be all right. I did see a stat today that they were leading with 2 minutes left against their in division opponents. Like, they've lost almost all their games. Wow. Like, they were leading with 2 minutes left against the Rams, lost.
They're lifeless. I saw Mateo said this, and he said it for season two. Those two losses, Super Bowl losses, all these NFC championship runs, it wears you down, and they haven't won, and they just look a little lifeless. It's not the same team that I'm used to seeing.
And we can say injuries. Like, they have that excuse. Like, CMC, not 100%, although he did say.
That's every year.
I mean, not last year. He was fully healthy last year.
That was ridiculous.
And everyone saw this coming, though, it feels like. Because I remember, like, watching, like, betting shows, talking about, like, taking the under on the Niners win total, basically being like, these are guys that struggle to stay healthy, to stay on the field. And then they were all healthy last year. There's no way that they all stay healthy next year.
And
like,
they've played a lot of football.
They have. They have played a lot of football. They take on the Packers in Green Bay.
It doesn't get easier for them. It really doesn't.
We take a look at their remaining schedule. They are at Green Bay, at Buffalo.
That's not easy.
Home against Chicago, home against the Rams, at Miami, home against the Lions, at Arizona. And with the way that it's looking right now.
Yeah, Miami might win that game if Tua plays.
Yeah, like, if I'm being honest, yeah. I do see a team that we do have to mention. For the first time ever in their franchise history, the Detroit Lions are the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
They're a good team.
This team is just fucking unbelievable, man.
We
saw it last year, and, you know, maybe the overzealousness of Dan Campbell got in the way, but
now they're riled in.
Here's the thing, though. I defended it too because
but he's done it all year. Like, how do you stop doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you? Yeah. Like, he's done it. Like, that's his MO. He has lost.
So why would you stop? That's what got you there. It's like what Pete Rose says: you never change your swing. That's your swing got you to the majors. You just make adjustments.
The NFC could be running through Detroit, Michigan, and I'll just say this: even in the games that they aren't supposed to win, like that Houston game, they somehow find a way to win.
Yeah.
And that's what builds toughness in a football team. Because your quarterback throws five interceptions. Chances are you're not winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
And here, like, what are we doing?
They're just very well-rounded, very well-coached. All their skill position guys are phenomenal. I mean, from receiver to running back to tight end. Their O-line is good. Their D-line is good. I imagine they had Hutchinson.
Yeah. And now Anzalone fucking broke his forearm. He's not going to be back until maybe the divisional.
Just talk about injuries. This is a team that's powering through them. That's the difference.
Yeah. Remaining schedule for the Lions: at Indianapolis, Thanksgiving against the Bears, home against the Packers, home against the Bills. That's going to be must-see TV.
Yeah.
At Chicago, at San Francisco, home against the Vikings. And that game might not even matter to any of them.
Good football team.
They're a good team. Let's talk about the Jaguars real quick, and then we'll go to college football. So, make it make sense. Shad Khan says that this is basically it for Doug Peterson. If they don't perform well in this game, he's probably going to get fired.
So he's getting fired.
They lose 52-6 to the Detroit Lions. Number one, I don't know how you can turn something around against the best team in football right now, but nonetheless, they lose 52-6.
Yeah, it wasn't a good game.
Everyone's thinking Doug Peterson's getting fired. And now Doug Peterson still has a job somehow and probably will have a job going into their game against – who are they playing? God, why am I missing this?
Does it matter? It's like how many dumpster fires in the NFL right now?
How many dumpster fires in the NFL? A lot. Giants, Jets.
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Panthers.
Panthers, Jaguars.
Browns.
Do the Jaguars, like, even have a fucking game to play?
Saints.
Like, Saints, Rizzy. Rizzy sort of, like, revived that. Oh, they do have a bye. I'm an idiot. How come?
Yeah, so the Jaguars' remaining games. They got the Texans, the Titans, the Jets. So that's going to be a great one. Raiders,
Jesus
Titans
Christ.
Again. And then they finish with the Colts.
I'm just wondering this right now. How? What's the Jets' like remaining
schedule
be? Yeah,
like it's
how many nationally televised games? Okay, they're all 1 o'clock. Thank God.
Yeah, it's Woo! Yeah. Seahawks, Dolphins, Jaguars,
that.
Rams, Bills, Dolphins again. Not
all right, thank God they're all
not
1 o'clock.
A good sight.
That would have been bad. Did the Giants have any left? That's what scares me. Oh yeah, Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. Thanksgiving. Okay, good. Rest for 1 o'clock. Speaking of other teams, are we putting the Bengals in that class of dumpster fire? Are we?
Don't really know. They confused the hell out of me, Stan.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I'm sort of like.
They have good games and then they have bad
dug
games.
Them, like, they dug themselves in such a big hole against LA. Like, you go down 24-6. It's pretty impossible to come back and win from that, let alone tie it, which they did. The kicker screwed him. We do have a kicker problem in this league.
Yeah.
Actually, not
in New York.
I mean, we could say that. I mean, our kicker's pretty all right. But I will say the defense sucks. Lou Anarumo was getting like head coaching interviews 2 years ago or even 3 years ago after the Bengals went to the Super Bowl. And then he doesn't have a fucking job, or he's about to probably get fired. Zach Taylor might get fired. Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow are in interviews. They do not look happy to. They do not look happy to be there.
Yeah, and it's so strange this team because they have good weeks. I mean, I know they lost to the Patriots start the season. You play a very close game with the Chiefs, another close game with the Commanders, another close game with the Ravens, another close game with the Ravens. But the losses
like
they have are just.
But there's people that are saying, like, oh, yeah, they'll win, like, 9 games, make the playoffs. I'm like, I don't see this.
Neither do I. Who did they got? The Steelers? They're not going to beat the Steelers. They'll beat the Cowboys.
They'll beat that's going to be on Monday night. That's going to be so gross.
Do they play the Titans? I mean, they'll probably beat the Titans. Browns, Broncos, and the Steelers again? I don't have a hard schedule. But
Broncos. Broncos. Yeah. Broncos look good.
Well.
Bo Nix looks pretty good.
I told you.
Bo Nix looks pretty good.
I told you. I told you going into the season, Stan. And he's the second best quarterback in this draft class. And that's just what it is right now.
Daniels and Nix. Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
I can't
crazy.
Believe we're living – Caleb Williams at 3.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're living in that world.
Hey, you can't throw it. And they realize that. They just let him run a ton, you know? There's a whole – just go.
It's also good coaching, too. Sean Payton, offensive mind, offensive genius.
And he gets a 24-year-old rookie.
Yeah, like that's – I feel like age does play a little bit of a factor into that.
Oh, it has to. I mean, he's more mature than most of these rookies coming in.
That's true. Let's take a look at the contest. Standings update. What are we at, Tim? What did you go? God, I don't even remember my record,
if I'm
being completely honest.
I believe this week we both went
– I went 1-2.
I think we both went 1-2. I'm pretty sure we both went 1-2.
So I went 2-1 2 weeks ago. So I was 13-17 going into this. Tim, you were 15-14-1 going into this.
So nothing changes again.
You were 16-16-1.
Yeah, and you are?
I am 15-18.
Nothing changes again. Another week, no
movement.
Nothing
changes. Reality starting to like set in that like I could be doing this stand-up routine, which I'll be honest, I'm excited to do that. Like, if I lose, I'm very excited to do that. Because, like, I have been, like, a stand-up comedy guy for a while. I love watching stand-up comedy. Like, Shane Gillis, those guys, love them. I've always wondered what it's like to, like, be on stage.
Well, I hope you get a shot. I mean, I am praying, Stan, that 1 week we could both just go 3-for-3. Because We need to get that rep back because it's been sloppy.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
It's been bad.
Well, the NFL right now is it's probably the most confusing state.
It's not a good product right now.
No, I don't know what the hell we're watching. And as the years keep going by, Tom Brady is right and right again. The mediocrity in the NFL is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the standard that we have for mediocrity is very disgusting. All right. Let's go to college football. New bracket came out. A lot of people are up in arms about the bracket. They're checking, like, what's to come, what might happen. Let's just see the bracket. Let's go to the bracket. Number one seed, Tim, your Oregon Ducks are the number one.
Nothing's new.
Number two, we have Texas at number two, which I find a little bit strange, to be honest, because
It's just going to keep getting weirder every week.
Yep. Number three, Miami. Makes sense. It could be SMU.
That's just crazy to think about.
That's just a reality that we live in right now. And then at number four, this is where shit gets crazy. It's fucking Boise State as the four seed.
9-1.
Yeah, they're 9-1, which is great. And you can make the argument for BYU because, like, yeah, I know Kansas is a bad loss. But they were 2.5-point favorites in that game. Like, come on now. BYU also beat SMU.
Yeah, yeah. But
come on.
I'm fully, but the
Big 12, they're fucked. They are mega fucked. If BYU sucks and the champion, they might not even let them in.
The Big 10 is really
the SEC.
I'm saying the Big 10's profiting in here. There's a lot of Big 10 teams getting some nods. Am I wrong?
Yeah, let's see. Well, let's take a look at the other games. 5-12 game. Five seed Ohio State taking on BYU at 12. 6-11 game.
A slaughter if that happens. That's not even... Why would I want to watch that?
Why would I want to... Yeah, exactly. Someone said like a mock like spread, like according to FanDuel, was like 21.5. I was like, fucking take that any fucking day of the week. Are you kidding me?
They're going to win like 55. If you thought the TCU championship game was bad, this one's going to be a million times worse.
Yeah. 6-11 game, Penn State, Georgia.
That didn't get Penn State's losing.
7-10 game, Indiana, Ole Miss.
See, like that... I actually want to watch. I feel like that could be an exciting football game.
Indiana loses. Like, here's the thing. If Indiana loses to Ohio State, are they out of this? Because everyone's saying weak schedule. Their toughest game was a shitty Michigan team. And they haven't really beat teams that.
I don't know. Because I don't know how they're going to do this. I mean, FSU didn't lose a game last year and they didn't make the tournament.
They didn't make it.
So I don't know how this plays out.
Here are the wins that Indiana has had. FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, Northwestern. They pummeled Nebraska. And I mean, they pummeled them 56-7. Washington, Michigan State, Michigan, where they won 20-15.
I mean, like any other year, those are sick wins.
Those are good wins.
But like
you beat Michigan, like that used to mean something.
But now it means nothing because they stink.
That used to mean something in the four-team playoff. That used to mean something.
And now they stink.
In my generation.
I don't know how that's going to play out. Again, I don't know how.
I don't know either.
I don't know who gets in, who doesn't. Because like we said, they fuck this up every year. So, and now that there's expanded, there's like four teams that are going to get shafted. Yeah. So, I don't know.
And the 8-9 game, Notre Dame, Alabama in South Bend. That's theater. That's theater.
That's the one game people want to watch.
That is theater, I tell you.
It's because everyone knew how this was going to set up. The 7-10 and the 8-9 were the only two games people were going to care about. Because
yeah.
The
5-12
is a joke. If that BYU game happens, that is a joke. They should just let Ohio State move on.
Who knows? That could be fucking... It could be worse. It could be Army.
All right, well, then, I mean, that's a good grounded pound crew over there, Stan. I don't know. They're running hard-nosed football.
So,
well, shout out to Army, first of all. I mean, this is...
Yeah, they're playing really good football right now. Like, it's going unnoticed because of BYU, but... Not BYU, because of Boise State.
Tactical football.
Great football as of late.
They're running like the Army.
Damn it. The projected first round game spreads. And now this is from FanDuel. I've seen other tweets. They're a bit out there. BYU, Ohio State. Ohio State's favored by 21. 21's a gift. That's a gift.
I know, but it's going to be like 35 by the time the game happens. And it's like, do I want to watch that?
Georgia, Penn State, pick 'em.
Is that a crap game or what am I missing?
I don't know. It's a pick 'em. Georgia -1.5, but that's essentially a pick 'em.
Feels like a trap game. I don't even Georgia's going to win.
Carson Beck's just so bad. Like, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That defense could have something with him, but like again, it's James Franklin versus the big game. Like
I saw they gave his like scouting report was so bad. Like his ceiling was like Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
And his like floor was it was so bad. Oh, Ole Miss his ceiling was Daniel Jones and his floor was Blaine Gabbert. That's exactly what it was.
Again, that's disgusting. Ole Miss Indiana. I saw some books have this at Ole Miss -4.5. FanDuel has it as a pick'em.
Hey, you never know. Go Hoosiers.
I don't know. I mean, I'll just say this debate goes away if Indiana just fucking beats them.
Like, well, yeah, I mean, then it's
this is where
then we don't know how this. Yeah, then I mean, also this whole thing changes this week. I mean, something crazy could happen.
Yeah, and then Alabama Notre Dame pick'em. I can't. If that happens,
I mean, well, like, let's be real. Notre Dame's the biggest choke artist. I can't back the Notre Dame Fighting Irish stand. I can't.
You want to talk about a cakewalk schedule? Oh my god, it's so gross. It's so gross what their schedule is, and like
I hate their fans. I do. I'm so sick.
Although they also have a pretty big game, Yankee Stadium taking on Army. That's an eliminator. Like that game. What world do we live in where Notre Dame and Army in November at Yankee Stadium, whoever loses that game does not make the fucking playoff?
And Army wins. I mean, say they move up. Somehow they get in that bye situation.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Do they just vote Army out if they get in? Because I don't think the committee's going to want that at all. I don't think they're going to want that at all.
Here's the thing. Like, I said this over the summer.
National TV option football is exactly what I need to see.
Yes, but there's going to be chaos the first year because there's a lot of people that like still don't understand it because we're in a situation that we're in right now where it's like, oh, Boise State's the 4th seed.
I don't think they fully understand it.
No.
Now I really want to see Army. I need to see Army move on. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but look at Notre Dame's schedule. Like, A&M, that's a good win. Winning at A&M is big, although they're 8-2. And I think that's probably the team that gets in if they want to fucking screw over Indiana. But anyway, fun fact: the NIU loss. That is.
This team shouldn't be here.
They're gonna make a bowl game. Northern Illinois is gonna make a bowl game, but still, like, come on, you cannot. And I'll just
say this:
this 12-team playoff is destined. Or was destined for them because you're not in a conference. So if you're the five seed, if you're the best non-conference champion, you're the five seed. So basically the five seed plays the now BYU or Boise State, wherever you want to put the 12 seed at home, you win that game and then you play either an ACC team. We know the ACC football has not really been up to par as of late, or a Big 12 team. And we know the Big 12 football hasn't been up to par as of late. So you're basically getting a cakewalk to the semifinal.
But what's new with them? I mean, what's new? But then, you know what? And this is the fact, well, this is going to piss me off now because Georgia's going to get a cakewalk.
Yeah, Georgia's, their two biggest, I mean, not their two biggest games, I'm sorry, but one of their biggest games they lost. They were able to kind of battle back, but I don't see much happening here. Like, I don't know. I think 10's kind of, or 11 even, is kind of the best that they're going to get.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're so disgusted with their ranking right now. And I think it's just hard to keep up, to be honest, because there's so many teams and so many things to complain about with the Big 12, with Indiana, with Georgia not liking where they're ranked. Like, there's...
I'm fine with it because Oregon doesn't move.
Yeah, you're fine with it. Oregon hasn't moved a muscle. They're on this week, correct?
Yeah, well, they're going to need it. Last week was, how do we keep it at that close?
Yeah, that is true. Donovan Mitchell still stuck at 2 assists. I don't like that.
Corey, you're
up by like You're up by almost 30. It's 88 to 60.
Okay.
So, real quick, because this is kind of the only game that's actually like worth something. Are we doing? Are we going with Indiana or Ohio State?
Ohio State. I Ohio State.
Yeah. I
hate
to say it.
You
want to
pick Indiana, but no, Ohio State.
You want to pick? Yeah, but this is. I think this is what gets them out. Barring like Ole Miss looks good.
Ohio State, they should have beat Oregon. Should have, maybe. I mean, when you look at their roster, like...
It's not the roster. It's the coaching. Like that's the thing. Like, I don't expect a Ryan Day-led team to, like, do much. Like, that's the thing that, like, scares me a bit.
Dan Lanning. Best head coach in college football, so...
Yeah. Let's do NBA. Dalton. Connect. That
Hooper.
Boy. Good.
Yeah. No, he's a Hooper.
Saw it at Tennessee. Some saw glimpses of it at Northern Colorado. Yes. This is insane. Like, every time he touched the ball, he shot it, and it went in. I think Will Hardy, the Jazz head coach, had a very interesting, funny quote about Dalton Connect. Let's see where it is. In the second half, it seemed like everybody in the gym knew that Dalton Connect was going to shoot the next shot, with the exception of a few people. The problem was that those few people were on our team. Like, how do you let him go for 18 in a row?
That's really funny that, I mean, a head coach is something to say like that. Everyone but our team knew. Yeah, I don't know.
A few people didn't think, but the problem was the few people were on our team.
He got undervalued in the draft. Everyone said it while he kept dropping down the board. I don't know how he made it to the Lakers, but they got a steal. They got a steal.
I don't know how.
That's where it's at. I mean, they got a steal.
I don't know how Jerry McCain ended up where he's at either, where he ended up going either.
Both those two guys have been great. Well, now that we're talking about the Sixers, who cares how Jerry McCain's been? Who cares?
Yeah, dude,
who cares? They are a mess.
I think they are all at full strength for the first time this year. They are currently, oh my God.
Who cares? I mean, you got Maxey calling out Embiid for being late to everything. Paul George going up to the front office saying he's unhappy. This is the worst situation.
This is a disaster.
It's
this
terrible.
This is a disaster.
Paul George is Tobias Harris numbers right now. I mean, this isn't, there's nothing.
You want to see his numbers right now at half? They're down 10 to the fucking Memphis Grizzlies at halftime. Paul George, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists on 1-6 shooting. 0-2 from 3. Joel Embiid, 10 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists on 3-9 shooting. Tyrese Maxey, who's under minutes restriction, 5 minutes, 4 points, 1-4 shooting.
They stink. They stink.
They're not good. They're not good.
And this is my question to you. Is this the first team out of, because I know we're having problems in Milwaukee. We're having problems here. I heard some rumors about Houston somehow getting Giannis. I don't even know how that got brought up, but.
I think that got shut down.
Well, they said they weren't going to break up their core. Houston didn't want to break their core. Regardless.
I'd go for it. Come on.
Regardless. Is this... they made some moves in the offseason, but is this the first team we sort of see implode? Is Embiid possibly moved?
I don't think Embiid gets moved. I think they're just kind of just going to run it and see what happens.
All right.
Like, this is... It's not good. And the one bright spot has been Jared McCain and all of them.
Yeah. But it's so sad because it hasn't mattered. It hasn't mattered.
It hasn't.
It hasn't mattered
at
all.
It hasn't really. Let's talk about your Cavs. They're going to get the win tonight. They're going to improve to 16-1.
16-1.
Thank
Listen,
you.
If you watched last night's game, their first loss of the season, Boston played
pretty
good.
Boston shot the lights out.
They played probably their best game of the year besides the one they were very almost, you know, had broke the record of threes. They phenomenal game. I'll give them their props. There was clearly something wrong with Darius Garland. He's out hurt today, so there was clearly something off with him.
Yeah,
you're down Caris LeVert, you're down Dean Wade, you're down Isaac Okoro, who, if you guys remember last year, was the primary defender on Jason Tatum every time he was on the floor. So you're down all these expandable guys. Obviously, there's a different roster and constructed. We're running differently this year, but from the game we lost, the takeaway I could say is we have some fight, and if we play like that again, I will be very disappointed. But that was our worst game played in the year, so don't expect that to happen again. Boston kind of got away with one, in my opinion. I mean, they were up 20 at one point.
Yeah. Like, that's... Yeah, you're right. Let's talk some Knicks real quick. Knicks winners of three straight.
Are they figuring it out?
It feels like they are.
Is Mikal Bridges still terrible?
Not really. He had
okay.
In those two games against the Nets, he had 22 on the Friday night, 9-17 shooting, 4-7-3, 5 rebounds. The game on Sunday against the Nets, 21 points, 9-18 shooting, 3-10-3, 6 rebounds. So, okay. And Mitchell Robinson traveled with the team.
That's good. That's good news.
They're in Phoenix, so they got a big West Coast trip coming up, so that could be pretty big. Precious Achiuwa slowly getting there. Tibbs said a week or two, so we can get that back up big, which is going
to
be nice.
Starting to put the pieces together.
Who knows? Maybe we could do a little sort of Cat at the four, but it seems like he's used to the five now because Cat's been going off.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting your footing back. I still think you get Mitchell Robinson, you look to get a little more defense, just a little bit. Depending, I mean, you can always go matchup-based, but I just want to take a look at the Eastern Conference right now, because it's pretty terrible. You haven't looked at standings in a while. There's four teams above 500.
Yeah, it's not good.
Sitting all the way at the bottom, the Sixers, we already talked about how bad they are. The Bucks in 12th, I mean, we've been talking about how bad they are.
They're winning right now.
Yeah, a team I want to talk to you about, sitting in sixth place right now at 6-7. They've won their last game. They're actually 4-6 in their last 10. Does Miami move you at all? Bam's been playing pretty decent, but Tyler Hero's had some spurts.
They got to make a move. I feel like they have to make a move.
And that's kind of where I was leading to. Who is the guy that they go after? I don't really know where you bring in, but...
It's got to be a point guard. And we have... I mean, again, we're freaking like 16 games into the season.
Right. Is a guy like Colin Sexton a possibility for a team like Miami?
You need a star. You need someone to be next to Jimmy.
I like a little bit. I mean, yeah, but what star guard's really available? You're going to get Damian Lillard? I don't.
If Atlanta sucks this year, give him Trae Young.
They don't, though. Unfortunately, I would say that, Atlanta's ahead of them in the standings.
But again, we're like a month away. We're like not even a month into the season.
I know. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. I know. But I haven't hated the way Atlanta's played.
I haven't
awful.
Either. New Orleans at 4-11. Like, who's a point? Like, I don't see anybody there. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to think of this.
Is Chris Paul a possibility? If the Spurs are so bad, do you even want that? Yeah.
They got a big win against the Thunder without Wemby.
Well, I don't know. They'll be bad for a while.
They move up in the NBA Cup standings because it's the Cup.
There you go. Another team that has... You go.
I will say. I did say this when they announced like the whole like in-season tournament thing. I hate how it's like Eastern Conference groups and Western Conference groups.
It should
like,
be everyone.
Mix it up a bit.
Let me play with everyone.
Get two Eastern Conference teams and three Western Conference teams.
I know it's for travel reasons, but please just
spare
the money.
Yeah, come on. Have a little.
A quick trip to the West. Obviously, the Warriors have been hot. Thunder, Lakers heating up as of recent. Rockets, but the Nuggets with Jokic on the floor, the best net rated offense ever, actually, of all time, 1.9. With him off the floor, the lowest net rated offense of all time. How do they fix this issue? What's their plan?
They need depth, and they need it as soon as possible.
What can they move?
I don't know. They have to find something, because right now, you're getting minutes from Dario Saric. You're getting minutes from, I mean, I know not necessarily DeAndre Jordan, but he's played in four games. You're getting minutes from guys that aren't really...
Ken Carr.
Yeah.
Strawther.
Like, Ken Carr. I mean, he's hurt. Who?
Julian Strawther.
Strawther, yeah. Christian Brown. Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Triple-double the other night, though.
It's a triple-double. 200th career triple-double. Good for him. Christian Brown has been serviceable, but again, what helped out the Nuggets the past two seasons has been the play of Contavious Caldwell Pope. And they don't have him, and now they lack a true guy at shooting guard, albeit Christian Brown's been all right, but come on. They need a guy like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and
they
look
need
at
a
the
guy
Magic.
Like KCP. They need a true shooter. Now look at the Magic, third in the Eastern Conference without Paolo Banchero.
which I mean, they don't scare me or anything, but they beat the Suns. It's, I don't know.
Kevin Durant-less Suns, but they take on the Clippers tonight.
Suns still got some guys. I mean, you can take KD out.
That's true. Booker.
Yeah. Bradley Beal's still not playing.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you.
He's always hurt. And no one talks about that anymore because he's not like a bona fide superstar.
Like he's not what he once was.
The fall from grace. That dude used to average like 40. When James Harden was averaging 40 in the West, this guy in the East was averaging like 42. Yeah. And they were losing by 30, but, you know, it was fun to watch.
Knicks take on the Suns tonight. You mentioned Phoenix Suns, favored by 4.5.
They home?
Hope. No, in Phoenix. In Phoenix. Very excited.
The late night game. 10 o'clock? West Coast?
I'll say this. I love the late night games. People
For basketball, I do. For basketball, I do. Hockey, it gets a little – it's like 1 in the morning. I'm like really trying to focus in on – it's an overtime.
Basketball,
I'm like, oh, my God.
Baseball, I like them for.
It depends on the mood I'm in. If I'm like hanging out with the boys and there's like a game and first pitch is at 10:30, you know, I don't mind. I'll hang out for a little bit.
Yeah.
But if we're not doing anything and I'm like just sitting around all day, those 3 o'clock starts, whatever. I special place in
during
my heart.
10 o'clock games during the summer. Cause like you have no responsibility. You have no responsibility.
Watch
like,
some ball.
And
you know what?
We did that for a Met game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And the 7 o'clock games too. I have had a lot of times with me and Joe Tool, we'll finish caddying and just boom, straight on.
This is a funny story. Like unrelated to the day after. So I told you about this, right? How some guy threatened to kill me.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me. Okay. You did tell me. Yeah.
That was fun. I was very hungry. I didn't see him. Who knows? We'll look back at the cameras. the next day I was walking, I'm like, you can still see the skid marks on the tire.
Hey, listen, nothing, no harm, no foul. No harm, no foul.
I lived, bitch. Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
If that guy ever finds me again, like, I think he actually will kill me.
I remember that car.
I remember that shitty Mazda 6. 2012 Mazda 6. Let's go to hockey. The Rangers have quietly brought up 3 straight wins.
First line, their new first line starting to click. Bring back the old first line, call it the new first line.
Yeah, this is... Well, not the new first line, technically, because this was...
I know, that's what I'm saying. The new first line again, because the old first line.
Yes, you're right.
It's like when they bring the McRib back.
Yeah, you're right. Basically, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I don't know why. I understood why they made the switch, because, you know, Mika wasn't doing stuff 5-on-5. Kreider was kind of eh. But it seems like they're having... It feels like the first... I saw Johnny Lazarus say this. It feels like for the first time all year, they're, like, having fun. And I'm not, like, trying to sound like an idiot.
No,
being just go out there and have fun. But like, Kaapo Kakko scored last night and smiled. Like, you never see that out of a guy like that.
They're settling in. They're settling in. That's what it is. And they got their lines now back together. They're starting to put a string of wins together. They're 12-4-1, so, I mean.
Which is somehow a fucking wild card spot in the East.
Yeah, well, Washington's 13-4-1. You got Carolina 13-4. And the Devils, who were 12-7-2, have played 21 games. So I wouldn't think too much of them.
I wouldn't, yeah.
But they're putting it together.
I was just going to mention Boston firing Jim Montgomery.
You know what? Record aside, they haven't won any playoff series, and it just wasn't working this year. It wasn't.
I mean, no, they did win a playoff series.
Like one, but compared to what they've had in the past where you've seen them going to multiple rounds constantly, I mean, it's...
That's fair.
It hasn't been the same product.
And in that one playoff series that they won, they almost blew a 3-1 lead. It had to take overtime in Game 7.
See? So, yeah. I mean, this is... It's not the Bruins team we're used to seeing. I mean...
I know, but like, I just feel like he's a scapegoat.
Well, that's the problem in the NHL. The NHL is a head coach's revolving door. If your team is losing because it's a hard cap, there's not really much you could do as a front office. So get out of here. Let's bring in a new head coach. See if that changes.
Here is my pitch to you. From 2022 to now, Jim Montgomery's record, 120, 41, and 23. He's unemployed.
Yeah.
Mike Sullivan. 85, 73, and 26. And he's deemed as a golden boy.
Yeah, it's the way the league... he's going to get a job. I mean, I don't know where yet.
I think there's another black and gold team that would desperately want him.
Well,
if they fire said golden boy.
Mm-hmm. It's a good, actually, I didn't even think of that. It was a good, could be right there. I mean, maybe we'll see. I mean, obviously, we saw last year, Lane Lambert was out the door like 22 games and then four other head coaches get fired.
Bringing Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, it's a revolving door with head coaches. And we can talk about the Isles now, too, because as you know, I said last time, nothing changes. They are now 7-7-5. You know what they were last time we spoke, Stan? They were 6-6-4. So I don't really – we played three games in a week. Nothing changes. Yeah. You just have the same record but add one to each. So, yeah, you know what? The AHL Isles, they're fighting by tooth and nail. I'll give them the props because this is a very injured hockey team, but – yeah, I don't. They can't. I don't know. I mean, they just they lost in a shootout.
There's another. Tomorrow. There's another NHL story that happened that I'm blanking on.
JT
what it
Miller.
Was. No. Yes. Ovi hurt as well.
Knee on knee injury. Yes. Really. Yes. He was like heating up. I mean, this is. Yeah. I heard it's only week to week. I heard it was nothing crazy, but
it's just the run that he's on right now.
I know
absurd.
It's tough to stop that.
And
guy.
I hate the guy. It's
yeah, well, he's just Ovi. He's just Ovi. He's the great eight.
Just Ovi. Whatever.
JT Miller, real quick. So what I saw originally was that he got benched in the third period because they thought he was not fit to help the team come back and win. And then we go on to the next day, and he drops his whole statement saying he's taking a leave of absence for personal reasons. He's not in the player assistant program.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what's going on. I am sure it could be something family related. I don't know, but they pay the man a lot of money. It's a really tough loss for them, especially.
I feel bad. He's got young kids too.
Yeah, they're 9-6-3. Not where they were last year at this spot.
The record. Yeah. Not the contagious.
You're right. The record. Sorry. No, they're not the same spot they were last year. But yeah, that's a tough blow. I hope everything's all well with him off ice. We'll, you know, obviously we'll more to the story later. But
all right, moving on to what I saw. Tim, start us off.
For any of you college hockey fans out there,
come on, you went to the fucking D3 equivalent of UNC Duke.
Stan. You got to hear me out first.
Okay. You can have multiple what I saw.
Well, then I'll have two. The UMass Lowell Riverhawks actually sweep this weekend. They moved to 13th in the country. They're now ranked ahead of the likes of BU. UMass is not ranked ahead of teams like UConn. They're really moving into a spot where they are in a position, Stan, right now to win the entire Hockey East. They are sitting in third place in the Hockey East with 12 points of Hockey East play. The two teams ahead of them are
Boston College.
I don't actually think BC's ahead of them. I think it's two other teams.
Are they in the same conference?
Yeah, but it's interdivision. This is just Hockey East play, just to win the Hockey East point-wise. I don't think they've played. I think BC's only played like four games Hockey East-wise. Regardless, they're two down from the spot. The two teams ahead of them have played 9 games and 8 games. UMass Lowell at 5 games played at 12 points. The leaders at 17. So if they sweep this weekend against UConn, that's 4 more points for Hockey East play. They might have a legit shot at the Frozen Four.
I will mention, did you see that fucking goal from
Ryan God. Oh, my God. Right in front of that in overtime. Well, the funny thing is,
Perreault's goal was even more disgusting.
Hagen's just fanned on the one we're talking about the OT one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hagen's fanned on it, then they fanned on it again, and then finally, boom, threw the legs around the back. I mean, come on. Come on. That team's talented. We got them in 2 weeks.
They're very talented. How was Cortica?
It was fun. I drank a lot. I didn't really watch much of the game, but it was just fun to hang out with my boys again.
How did it feel to be back in the motherland?
Honestly, it was not the same. It was a little weird. Definitely really? A little weird.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. I don't have my old house, and people are doing different things now, so not the
are there
same.
Still,
but
do you know the people living in your house or no?
Yeah. I still know all of them. It's just not the same. They're not like all my people I was living with. They all graduated, so
it's like,
so it's just a little different,
a little strange. You're like, hey, I did that there.
It's like, oh yeah, that's, I mean, I know them. Like, I'm not like not familiar with them. I'm like on a friendly basis with them, but like I'm not like, oh, it's good, boys. Like,
yeah,
no offense.
Fair. What I saw, I went to the. This is funny. They hold me to such a high standard at this college. I actually ended up getting tickets to a pregame at a bar, at a very bougie bar, for the Siena-UAlbany game. These are like $200 tickets. I got them for free. This was hysterical. Like, the fact that, like, I ended up there with, like, all of, like, the board of trustees at Siena College, I was like, I'm living.
I would just be sitting in the corner on my phone.
Oh, I socialized at the bar. Are you kidding me?
I mean, yeah.
Socialized. I mean,
I'm not shocked.
I had bourbon, lemon, and honey. Oh, my God. So good.
Should have started telling him how to reconstruct the basketball roster. If we just get more NIL deals, we'll be able to.
Well, no, like that was like the thing they were like preaching too. Like the guy that like runs like our NIL like collective here was like, this is the new norm. Like
you should have been like, preach, brother, preach. We need more funds.
That's what we were doing.
We need like, more funds.
Yeah. Then my next one I saw, the gang is getting back together. And by the gang, I mean the inside the NBA is making the move to ESPN. It's happening. Order has been restored.
Finally.
Order has been restored. I'm very happy that Chuck, Kenny, and the crew are Chuck, Kenny, Shaq, and Ernie. Thank you.
Yeah.
Back. They said that they might not get like that much of looks.
Anything's better than nothing. It's tough. I mean, they are getting older. They've been doing this for how long?
They are.
35 years. For like so
15.
How old?
No, since like the 90s.
Yeah.
But Shaq didn't join
until he was done. But when Chuck finished, it was him and Chris Webber. Ernie's been there for.
Not Chris Webber. No, it was Ernie, Kenny, and Chuck.
No, Chris Webber was on it at one point. I swear he was. Maybe he just guest starred.
Let me find this. It's been on the air since 1989, but I don't think that they've had like.
Yeah, on March 27, 2008, Chris Webber made his first appearance on television inside the NBA along Charles Barkley and host Ernie Johnson. That was before Kenny was even there.
So it was, Ernie Johnson since 1990, Kenny the Jet.
Oh, he joined in 98. I guess he was there then.
Barkley in 2000, Shaq in 2011. But then at one point it was Ernie, Kenny, Chuck, and Magic Johnson.
Wow.
And then, and then Ernie, Kenny, Chuck, Chris Webber, Ernie, Kenny, Chuck, Reggie Miller.
Yeah, Reggie Miller from 08 to 11.
And then Shaq came along. Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to be – I'm happy.
Chris Webber was funny.
Happy.
If you've seen some of those Chris Webber clips, it is pretty funny. Him and – because that's when, like, Chuck was – they were younger. Him and Chris. They were unhinged.
My favorite – this sounds like
– the women down in San Antonio.
No. They're drinking that Galveston water. They're drinking that Galveston water.
They're
eating
all those churros down in San Antonio.
Oh, my God. I will say – let's fucking go, Mike. That hit Giannis – 30-plus points.
A gallon of water.
Thank you.
They got some funny clips.
The best was Chris Webber during the bubble, and LeBron hits a three, Portland all the time. But when you're a black man in this country, you must not decompartmentalize. He was just like saying, everyone was like,
decompartmentalize. No one knew
everyone was like, I still have no idea what it means.
No, it does. I looked. It has no context in that situation, like at all.
And it's like I understood, like you know, the country was going through some tough times.
I understand. Yeah, I understand the point he was promoting. I get it. But it's the way he did it was just
the way he did it was just like LeBron hits this three to go up by 15.
I just want to say,
a black man in this country,
it's just crazy. Like that was. It really was crazy times. I mean, I just. The Luka hitting the step back on the BLM logo. Oh. It was just a bubble. It was TJ Warren dropping 50 a night.
Yeah. My situationship ended. Luka did that. It cured my depression.
That's the way to do it.
And then I got an A-plus pre-draft or post-draft grade on my fantasy draft. And I was like, you know what?
Things are good.
I won the day.
I'm trying to think of some other funny Chuck moments. They've had so many funny moments.
Three words. Two words. Steve Nash and Chris Paul must see TV.
It wasn't two words.
That's
fine.
The best one.
Nash and Paul. It's still not two words.
Still not two words. Did you see real quick before we wrap this up, did you see the match? Like what they're doing this year?
Let's go Gretzky.
Love it.
Let's go
Gretzky. For those who don't know, usually the match consisted of, you know, two people. and it would, like, 1 year it was – when did it start? It was originally Tiger and Phil.
The Tiger and Phil and, bullshit. That was, like, the worst golf ever. They had three combined birdies in the whole thing.
Yeah, that was not good. Then it sort of, like, turned into
– Brady, Rogers.
Yeah. Brady and Rogers against Allen Mahomes. Then, like, 1 year it was Spieth and JT against Rory and Tiger. And then there was one in June – or the summer of 2023, Mahomes and Kelce against Curry and Clay. Like, they do shit like that. This year, it's sort of an individual bracket, but it's going to include – so basically, it's going to be, like, team play for the first round, but whoever wins that, like, the team that wins, then they play each other one-on-one. So the teams are Charles Barkley and Ken Griffey Jr., Wayne Gretzky, Bill Murray.
Okay, wait, hold on real quick. Is Ken Griffey Jr. any good at golf? I've never even seen him swing.
I would say so.
You know what, though? I will. You know what? For the man with the smoothest swing ever in baseball history, I'm sure he's got some tempo on the course.
I would assume. Charles Barkley against Ken Griffey, Wayne Gretzky and Bill Murray, Michael Phelps and Mark Wahlberg, Nate Bargatze and Blake Griffin. I feel like that's...
The Phelps-Wahlberg team might be a little bit of a... It might be sandbagging.
But then the team split apart. Yeah. So it's not like... So
I just want to see Gretzky move on to the next round. We'll see what happens. That first team, because obviously my money's always going to be on Ken Griffey. Because, I mean, come on. That's the kid.
That's the kid.
Is it?
That's the goat.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up... Before we wrap this up, is that the most, like, in all of sports, really? Because you talk about, like, all-time greats in basketball and in football... I don't really see kids these days. No, I'm saying kids these days, like, I'm not 21 years old, but who talks about Ken Griffey? Like, I mean,
not a lot of people.
Come on. It's the kid.
Here's my thing. And this is a completely, like, disrelated thing. What is the rarest jersey that you have ever seen? And I'll tell you what mine is. Like, never seen it ever.
I saw a Mike Piazza Mars Mets when they did the, like,
have you ever seen anyone with a Barry Bonds jersey?
Maybe, like, one time with a, like, a Giants but nothing like...
I've never seen someone with a Barry Bonds jersey.
I've seen some crazy ones.
I think I might buy one from frickin'...
Okay, well, you want to talk about crazy jerseys? How about this? Hanley Ramirez, pinstripe, Miami Marlin.
I literally, Tim, you're going to kill me. The week of your birthday... I was like, let me just scour eBay. Because, like, I remember you mentioned it before. You wanted the pinstripe Florida Marlins Hanley Ramirez jersey.
That's the one.
I saw it, Tim. It was like $400.
They're so expensive. No, don't even like, I walked into one of those, like, all sports shops where they have, like, the vintage jerseys and stuff. And I was like, how much? Because they had one. It was a pinstripe Miggy, like, way back. And I was like, how much for this? And he was like, $230. I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, no.
I'm walking out of here.
I saw a kid one time. I went to a Yankee game.
Oh, you know what? I have. Have you seen a Kenneth Faried jersey? I have one.
Wow.
Or how about this? How about this? Blake Bortles Color Rush 2017.
You have that?
I have that. I own that jersey. I have Dylan Larkin. Team North America.
You need to wear, like, stupid jerseys.
I have,
like,
crazy ones. I have the Manimal. I have Danilo Gallinari.
Oh my God.
I have Sam Bradford on the Rams.
That one I did know.
I have that. That one's kind of random.
That one I did know. All right.
What else do I have?
We're pushing an hour 20 here.
Yeah, but it's got to be, like, one random jersey that I've seen that I just, like.
I saw a kid with, like, a custom Met jersey on and said UConn on the back. I was like, what the fuck is this? Why would you let your kid out of the house with that?
Yeah, that's kind of,
like,
nuts.
I get it. Like, they won the national championship that year, but it was like, what the fuck am I looking at? Like,
all right,
Mr. Met on arm sleeve, and then...
I got this. This is the last thing before we go. The craziest jersey you've seen anyone wore to a game that you saw in the stands, where you're like, where the hell did you get that?
My God, I saw this one at the fucking Yankee game, and I'm blanking.
You want me to go first? Because I got a crazy one.
Yes.
Tim Thomas never dressed a single game for the New York Islanders. He was traded for about 14 days. A dude, like, four rows in front of me was wearing a Tim Thomas Islanders jersey one time. So that is, there you go. That's probably the craziest one I've seen. I saw one on Twitter where some MLB guy who played only one spring training game, and he had his jersey, like, the guy had his jersey. He must have been, like, his dad or something. There's no way, but.
All time. The Carmelo Anthony Atlanta Hawks jersey.
You've seen that?
I haven't seen it, but I saw like someone on Twitter where it's like, oh my god.
Who has that? That was like
not even. Maybe like 2 hours.
That's kind of nuts. There's gotta be two hours. There's other guys that's happened too.
The best one like wearing like a non like jersey, like going to a game, like wearing a jersey of someone that is just like not being represented. I went to the Sam Darnold mono game, oh. And Mike Morrissey wore a Tampa Bay Buccaneers Jameis Winston jersey to the game.
Showing his support.
Yeah. He's the only guy I know. I have a Manti Te'o Notre Dame jersey. There's no name on the back because it was pre-NIL, but...
Yeah. Hey, I'll give myself props to this one. In about like 6 years, this Oliver Wahlstrom jersey I have, yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, that's not going
to
go for much.
No one's going to have one of those.
That's not going to go for much. All right. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. There we go. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube, like our videos on YouTube, leave a comment. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars.
5 stars only. We will see you guys next week. Wednesday? I know same Thanksgiving.
Well, actually.
Wednesday, 8 o'clock? You don't want to be doing? You're gonna want to be doing this shit?
Wrong answer. I didn't realize that was Wednesday. I'm not, dude, I am so lost. Like, I have no sense of, like, anything going on right now. I
lost my concept of time.
I have so much, like, to do, like, schoolwork-wise that I just, well, I mean, I did most of it, but it's just, like, you do it, and then I'm like, I don't care what day it is. Like, I just need to get to tomorrow.
I said to Tim today, I was like, the fact that I'm, my sense of meltdown-ish has kind of gone away, so that's good.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's good. Even earlier, like we were about to record, I didn't even know it was 8 o'clock. I looked at my phone. I was like, "Oh my god, it's 8 o'clock!"
Fair enough. All right, yeah, we'll see you guys Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, since we're gonna be home.
Wednesday afternoon. Honestly, we can do it in person. Tuesday afternoon, we can do it any.
I'll be here Tuesday afternoon, probably.
We'll be home, so we'll figure it out.
All right, peace out, guys.